This episode is brought to you by Play Spaces That Work. If you're a mama who feels overwhelmed by the amount of toys in your home, or your frustration over a lack of toy storage means you're constantly nagging your children to clean up, then this audio course is for you. Your home doesn't have to feel like the toys have taken over. Hi, I'm Megan. I've combined my experience from being a mom, an elementary educator, and the owner of a professional home organizing business to bring you the step-by-step process to creating play spaces that work in your home. Inside this private podcast, you'll learn how to set up your home to function seamlessly with intentional toy evaluation and storage protocols, all while promoting independent play. When you enroll in Play Spaces That Work, a private podcast isn't the only thing you're getting, though. You will gain access to resources like the toy categories list, the toy evaluation tool, my product recommendation guide, the course workbook that will walk you through making all your decisions, plus a to-do list to keep you on track. Instead of spending more time tidying up your home than you spend with your family, it's time to create play spaces that work. Be sure to visit the link in the show notes to learn more.
Welcome. Your host, Megan Smith, is a proud South Dakota farm wife, a mom of three, and a full-time elementary educator, and the owner of Stress Less Organizing. Being diagnosed with ADHD in her 30s led Megan to realize that she had spent years troubleshooting how to make motherhood feel manageable within the rhythms of her family's rural lifestyle. Megan is here to share the strategies that she developed to combat the challenges of being a mom with ADHD. With her professional experience in the classroom as a backdrop, she is on a mission to share how you can make things work for your home and your kids' routines. Working full-time, juggling all it takes to run a household while taking care of children can feel like a lot. Does your house feel out of control some days? Do you love problem-solving, to-do lists, and making memories with your kids? Do you also get overwhelmed with the day-to-day tasks of working motherhood? Are you raising a farm family? Are you looking for a little more adult interaction during evenings and weekends of mostly solo parenting? If you're nodding your head right now, or just love home organization and setting up efficient family-centered systems, you've come to the right place. You are listening to the Stress Less Podcast.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited that you are here and listening. Thank you so much for joining me on my first episode of the Stress Less Podcast. I launched my professional organizing business in March of 2023. Organizing is something that just soothes my soul. When things feel chaotic, organizing, tidying, and throwing crap away makes me feel like I can regain focus and control. I absolutely love listening to what my clients' pain points are in their homes and creating a plan to help meet the needs of their families. When I was 32 years old, I was diagnosed with ADHD. You can actually listen to that whole story in episode 3 right now. But what's important about my diagnosis being later in life is how the coping strategies I didn't realize I was creating to manage my ADHD can now help other busy moms who have ADHD or are living the farm lifestyle by sharing experiences, resources, hacks, and great product finds. I know in the Midwest there are so many mothers who are also tied to the ag community. Whether their husband is a farmer, rancher, or works for an ag-based business, we all have experienced the stress that busy seasons can bring on when we are raising our young families. Every episode will have a to-do list. We all know how good it feels to have a plan, know what's coming, and then check things off when tasks are complete. So, let's get started. On our to-do list today, we have a farm wife gripe where I'm going to complain about the dust and dirt in our garage and entryway. I'm sharing the 4 steps to declutter any space. We're going to cover what I'm trashing. And we have a troubleshooting segment, which is going to answer the question, what do you do when you live with someone who is a saver and not a thrower? My farm wife gripe today is about all the dust, dirt, and mud that we battle every day, but especially in certain seasons, like right now. We are supposed to be in the middle of our frozen tundra winter. The ground is supposed to be hard, and we are supposed to be worried about moving snow and not slipping on the ice. But that is not the case right now. We have been thawed out for weeks now, and the mud has literally been sticking around. We need the sun to come out and dry it all up. One thing I do need to preface this gripe with is that I did spend 7 years on the farm without a garage. And let me tell you, I had a tiny little piece of concrete that I could park beside right by our front door and that I could get into and out of my car on. However, when you have kids and you're the only spouse who works in town, you are not the only person who needs to get into the vehicle. So I have lived the whole wearing muck boots to the car and carrying my work shoes in my bag for enough years that I pray I will never take our concrete pad and garage that we have now for granted. That being said, the dust, dirt, mud, and muck that collects in our garage, on the landing, and then makes its way into our entryway, which is also where our laundry is getting close to my last nerve. To be honest, I love a clean garage in general. Especially a clean garage floor. But when you have to drive 2 miles of gravel or more just to get to your house, and then your driveway is actually the worst part, you clump up mud on the vehicle's wheels right before you pull on to concrete and into your garage. So, how do we make it stop? We can't. We cannot get away from the dirt or even stay ahead of it. There are a few ways that help me tolerate it, though. So today I'm sharing 6 of them. First up, mud catching mats. These are like the big, heavy rubber mats with holes in them. I have them in my garage from our garage entry door up to our landing. I really like these because they catch mud and then they also like hold the dirt in their little like open circles, but they're also rubber, so you can sweep them off, you can spray them off, and then also, when you are cleaning, you can just lift up the mat. There's a ton of dirt caught in the little circles and it just stays there and you can sweep it up, use a shovel, whatever you need to do. It almost like keeps it contained in one spot. So it's all the mud is there and you just have to get it out. Second, kicking shoes off in the garage or in the entryway really helps. Which is kind of an obvious step. Everyone in my family has shoes that they know are considered farm shoes. They may be old tennis shoes or a version of muck boots, depending on the season. We all know that if we wore our shoes out in the farm mud lot or pens, that those shoes get taken off in the garage. We don't need the stench or any type of germs from the animals' bowel movements coming into our house. Shoes we consider town shoes that are worn from the house to the car, around town, and back can be taken off in the entryway, and everyone has a place where theirs belong. For shoes that get taken off in the garage, I do have some shelves in the garage near our landing that have been working really well for us as a place to put shoes we don't necessarily wear every day, but they also stay out of the way of our daily traffic in and out of our garage. I have this metal shelf that you can decide the spacing of the shelves when you're putting it together. And so it's nice because you can make the shelves like taller, or have a higher height between them for like tall muck boots, but then and for shorter farm shoes like tennis shoes or short boots or Twisted X work shoes, you can have the shelves closer together. Number 4 is boot trays. I love boot trays for a couple reasons. They catch mud, give me a place to quick run the vacuum brush over or take the whole tray and dump the dirt chunks outside. I also like them because it gives my family and visitors a visual of an appropriate and helpful place to put their shoes. I have one in our entryway for kids' winter boots right now. I have one on our landing in our garage, and then I actually have one on the bottom shelf that I mentioned earlier. And this works great since they are metal wire. Dirt can fall down through the shelves. It just worked out that I could slip the mud tray on the bottom shelf and I don't have to worry about vacuuming or sweeping out under the shelf very often because it's all caught on the tray. Number 5. So here is when you get really desperate. I will tell you, mopping your garage floor can actually help a lot. I know some people may power wash their floor if they have a power washer. I haven't tried that yet, but I know it would be super satisfying. I was hosting my son's birthday last year, and we were going to set up tables in the garage. After we scraped, shoveled, and swept as much as we could, my dad, bless his heart, took my mop and bucket, put hot water in the bucket, and then with just a little bit of powdered Tide, mixed it in to the hot water, and it worked great. And it even got some grease stains lifted off the concrete. Last but not least, number 6, I'm going to tell you about something I bought that I honestly wanted for almost 3 years. I bought a ruggable rug for our entryway. We had a cheap 5x7 rug from Runnings or something that was fine. It was ugly and it protected our floors from getting destroyed with dirt. But finally, this past Black Friday, I bought myself a ruggable. It's a rug that attaches to a pad, stays in place, and then when it gets dirty, you pull up the rug from the pad and throw the whole top piece of the rug in your washing machine. Now, I think you can tell from this farm wife gripe session how dirt is a part of my daily life. So now that I can have a pretty rug in my entryway that I can actually keep clean while protecting our floors, I'm so happy I got it. Next, I'll be getting one for our sliding door to our backyard. So I want to hear from you if you battle dirt in your house. Send me a DM on Instagram if you have any products or hacks that help you keep the dirt, dust, and muck out of your home.
We are going to get started today, as I do with any client that comes to me for an organizing service, and talk about decluttering. I honestly cannot explain how much I love decluttering. When you really think about it, so much comes into our homes every day. I will talk more about this on another episode, but it's truly mind-boggling when you start paying attention to how and where things are coming from that end up in our homes. Today, I am sharing a simple 4-step method to declutter any space. I love these 4 steps because you can apply them to a space as small as the junk drawer or a space as big as your garage. Are you ready? Let's get started. So I'm front loading a little bit here on this episode, but the 4 steps we'll be talking about today are prioritize, categorize, downsize, and reorganize. So prioritizing is first. You have to decide where to start. Pick a space, and my best suggestion is to look for a quick win first. A quick win is going to look different for everyone. You might be comfortable and not overwhelmed by going through your pantry, but that could be a lot for somebody else. So if the pantry is too much, think about maybe a small cupboard, a bathroom cupboard, your junk drawer. You can start small. Just make sure you won't feel overwhelmed. Step 2 is categorize, and there's a few strategies that I like to keep in mind when I'm working through my items in this step. When I'm trying to decide how to categorize my items, I might use the method of sorting them into family, cousins, and coworkers. Sorting your items into the same family is pretty simple because it's the same item in the same thing. If I was working in my bathroom, the Q-tips go with the Q-tips. And if we're going to think about an item's extended family, we would maybe call them cousins. Cousins are similar things that may have a similar purpose, and they can also belong together. For example, in the kitchen, scrapers and spatulas. They're similar things that have a similar purpose, but they're not the same. And then if you have some items that are not the same item, they're not the same thing, and they're also not similar, maybe they're coworkers, or maybe you could store this item with its coworkers. Those are things that you use alongside them to help create flow in your daily routine. So if you're going to think of an example for coworkers, an easy one is a hammer and nails. You use them together, so it's easy to store them together. Another easy reminder I like to say is like goes with like. If you're organizing a closet, t-shirts with t-shirts, long sleeves with long sleeves. The most beneficial part about categorizing is that it provides such a great visual for you to see what you have. If you have 27 pairs of black leggings, you could probably do without some. Or maybe you can't. It just depends on how you use them. But categorizing really allows you to see what you have all together at once, and then it also helps you prioritize what you want to keep. Step 3 is downsize, and I'm just going to apologize right now. This is where a little tough love comes in. Please don't take offense. Just trying to help you notice what matters to you and what doesn't. So first, let's start off with talking about some red flag words. If your reason for keeping something includes the words might, could, maybe, and someday, those are hints that you probably don't need to keep that item. Using these red flag words could sound like, I might make that. We could use that when we, maybe so-and-so will want that. Someday, I want to. These are just phrases to keep in mind when you're downsizing. These are not hard rules for you to follow, just things to make a mental note of. Now I'm going to share some questions that you can ask yourself when you're downsizing. There are functional questions and emotional questions. We're going to start with a list of functional questions first. When was the last time you used this? Did you know it was here? How often do you use this? How many of these do you have? How many of these total would you like to keep? If you accidentally discarded this item, would you look for it? If you got rid of this and needed to buy it again, how much would it cost? Is this item in a condition that you feel good about? One thing that I've been considering every time I'm decluttering lately is the question, is this in a condition that you feel good about? Because I know people don't like to throw things away, but also if we're donating things or trying to sell things online that are broken, selling things online is a waste of time if something's broken. Again, that's not in a condition that you feel good about that somebody would pay you money for. And donating something, you're wasting other people's time and energy if you're donating something that is broken or not in great condition or if it has holes in it. It's just a question that I've been applying a lot. Now, I mentioned there are also emotional questions that you can ask yourself when you're downsizing your items. They might sound like, are you only keeping this because it was a gift? Does this fit in your goals for your home? If you knew how to discard the item responsibly, would it feel better? Did you use the words might, could, maybe, or someday as your reason? Identify what emotion you're having about an item and where that feeling stems from. It might guide you to realize that it's okay to keep an item or it's okay to let it go. And I want you to know it's normal for emotions to come up when you're going through your things. Normal emotions can include wastefulness, guilt, feeling ashamed or ungrateful, stressed, worried, frustrated, angry, annoyed. There's so many normal emotions that can come up for so many reasons. And it's okay to have feelings like that about your things. One reminder I'd like to share is if you're having feelings of wastefulness, especially if it comes to how much you spent on something, it's important to note that money gets wasted when you buy something you don't need, not when you say goodbye to it. And it's important to just note what you are getting rid of so you're not making purchases like that in the future. It's also common to have feelings of guilt or ungratefulness come up. Maybe somebody gave you something. And I want you to know, someone giving you a gift does not mean that you have to take care of it every day for the rest of your life. Think about it as you're choosing what to keep versus you're getting rid of X, Y, and Z. Focus on the idea of the work you're doing is making your home how you want it to be for now and in the future, rather than holding all the things you've collected in the past. Okay, and we have made it to the last step. You may consider this the most fun step, or you may be exhausted by the time you get to this point, but it is time to reorganize. Since you have already categorized and then you downsized because you were able to see what you had and you decided what you needed to keep, the items you are reorganizing are the items that are important to you. They're the items that you use regularly, so they each deserve a specific place in your home. We're going to talk about the best practices with reorganizing. So I mentioned earlier, like goes with like, and we need to discuss giving things boundaries, putting things where they are used, and making sure that you are creating a system that is manageable maintenance for you. And like I said, you know what you have. You know how much space you have. Does it make sense where you are storing something? Where do you use it most? Is it easy to access? When we're talking about giving things boundaries, I'm not saying go buy all the clear acrylic bins that you can find and put labels on them. I'm just saying choose the space where they belong. And if it comes to things that are more logistical, like bottles falling over and it's annoying, then put them in even a cardboard box inside the drawer that would keep them from tipping over. That would allow your things to stay more organized. It's all about the ease of use. I actually do this with my kids' water bottles and now my own water bottles by using just a plastic basket inside a shelf in my kitchen cupboard that I can't quite reach to the back, but that way when I'm reaching for a water bottle, I'm not knocking a bunch over while I'm getting them. I just grab the basket, get it down, grab the bottle, and slide the basket back, and they all stay contained or within their boundary. They're not all over the shelf and all over the cupboard getting in my way when I need other things. When it comes to where you are storing things, and so you're thinking about the location, think about how often you need to use it. When you're looking at your item and it's something that you use one time per year, that is something you can put in storage. If it's something you use two or three times per year, consider storage. And when I say storage, that would mean like in a tote out in your garage. If you have an item that you're using monthly, make it easy to find, but not in prime real estate. Prime real estate would be saved for items that you are using weekly or daily. When you're organizing your space, look around and see if there's any vertical space that you could use. A lot of times you can just use some command hooks or some L brackets and plywood depending on what space you're in and the aesthetic you're going for. When it comes to finishing up your space, please do not go buy anything before you are completely done with the space you are working in. Also, make sure you measure your space so you can get containers that make the most of the space you have by fitting properly. Make a list. You need X amount of containers for Y amount of categories with Z amount of items. I know that seems pretty detailed, but it also is so helpful when you know you are getting exactly what you need at the store. And just for fun, I will share where my favorite places are to buy organizing solutions from. Depending on your price point, your location, and if you like ordering online or not, Walmart, Amazon, Target, and the Container Store are usually my go-tos. I will say, the dollar store isn't always the most effective option. I know they have a lot of baskets there and they might have a lot of options for a really great price, but I find when I've used those in my house, they end up broken a lot faster than the items I might get at Walmart, Amazon, or Target. So we have made it to the end of the four-step method to declutter any space. The steps are prioritize, categorize, downsize, and reorganize. These steps are just so helpful because they're cyclical, which means you can even use them when you're in the middle of a big decluttering project and just go back to prioritize. So if you have a large amount of items or something you have to sort through, go back to prioritize and categorize and downsize and go from there. And you just keep going back to that until you get through your space and it works for you. You know I couldn't let you listen to my first episode without giving you something special. Check out the show notes where I will leave a link for you to get the outline of the four-step method of how to declutter any space. Use it as a checklist. Remember to start small and share what spaces you're tackling in your stories on Instagram. Don't forget to tag @MeganSmithStressless. You know I couldn't let you listen to my first episode without giving you something special. Check out the show notes where I will leave a link for you to get the outline of the four-step method of how to declutter any space delivered right to your inbox. Use it as a checklist and share what spaces you're tackling on your stories on Instagram and tag @MeganSmithStressless. Okay. Next up, what I'm trashing. Since this is the first episode, I do want to explain a little bit of the backstory behind this segment. I feel like there is an undercurrent in our society that tells us if we want to be good to the environment, we should not throw things away. And I'm going to point out, it is okay to throw things away sometimes. There are so many reasons throwing something away can be the best choice. If something is taking up valuable real estate in your home and you are not using it and it's not in a condition that you feel good about, it's okay to throw it away.
You don't need to post something on Facebook Marketplace if you also need to include an asterisk that says, oh, by the way, X, Y, and Z doesn't work, or a button is missing. If it's not in a condition that's good enough for you to use, it's probably not in a good enough condition for somebody else to pay money for it. Also, if you're thinking about donating an item because someone could use it, again, does someone really need to pay money for something from Goodwill if it isn't in a decent condition? And if you're going to donate it, you may really be pushing your problem onto somebody else to make the decision if it's suitable for sale or not. So you can just throw it away, put it in the garbage, dumpster, or incinerator, or burn barrel. Don't waste your time or other people's time just because our society makes you feel guilty about putting something in the trash. So that's honestly what I've been asking myself. Is this in a condition that you feel good about? Recently, I was changing out my girls' clothes for the right sizes in their closets. I had a pair of purple Crocs that my youngest wore last summer, and now we're done with them. I was just about to post them, and then I realized I was going to disclose on the post that there were dog teeth marks on them. And honestly, I'm pretty sure a strap was missing. And I just laughed at myself and put them in the garbage. For my family, I could have let my daughter keep wearing them because they worked just fine. And I know it was my dog who got a hold of them, but she's outgrown them now. So they have no use, and I don't need to pass on an item in that condition to anyone else. I have a feeling the troubleshooting segment is going to be one of my favorites for a long time. Last November, I was presenting the same four-step method to declutter any space at a Women's Day of Self-Care conference. At the end, we had time for questions, and one lady asked me, "What do you do when you live with someone who is a saver, and I'm a thrower?" And here's my honest answer to that. It is so very hard to change someone else. We know that. We can't control others. Also, other people's feelings about their belongings are valid, just like your feelings about your possessions are valid. So the answer is not nag them. Don't send them reels or leave them notes to remind them that their stuff is all over. My best suggestion is to identify what you can put in place to help you manage their clutter. Personally, when I'm constantly picking up stuff that is left out or a mess because of someone else in my family, whether it's my kids or my husband, I get real resentful real fast. So, like I said, I can't change my kids and husband. I can influence my kids over time, but that's not going to be a solution for the current moment. For this season, what I have done is put a couple containers in certain places in my house where I can quickly put their items when I'm feeling like my house needs to be picked up. This helps me a couple ways. First, I'm not doing the entire job for them, but I'm getting it out of my visual clutter that's bugging me and not wasting my time. Also, it sets my kids up for success by having things already sorted for them. Each of my kids has a collapsible basket that I keep under a bookcase or cabinet at the start of my hallway that's near our living room. They're easy to hide and easy to pull out when I need them. They also have handles, and it's easy for the kids to carry them back to their rooms. For my husband's things, I have a basket on top of our dryer in our entryway where I put his things that are not put away. Usually, when he's looking for something, I say, "Have you looked in your basket?" And 9 times out of 10, it's in there. This is how I'm looking at this situation and putting things in place that I can control without having to control others and getting mad at them for not listening to me or not valuing a clean and clutter-free house as much as I do. Okay, guys, this is the end of our first episode. Remember to connect with me on Instagram at @MeganSmithStressLess if you have a great way to share how you keep dirt out of your home, or even if you're throwing something away. I want to hear about it. And you know I couldn't let you listen to my first episode without giving you something special. Check out the show notes where I will leave a link for you to get the outline of the 4-step method of how to declutter any space delivered right to your inbox. Use it as a checklist and share what spaces you're tackling in your stories on Instagram and tag @MeganSmithStressLess. Thank you for listening to the Stress Less podcast with Megan Smith. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you found this episode helpful, be sure to share it. The more moms we're helping here, the merrier.